Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yeah! Oh! It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. What the hell was that, Jack? What was that, man? Like, what if I did, like, usually you don't have multiple gut punch losses in like a 10 game span. We had that Orioles loss, the Segura game, and then game two. Both of the losses today sucked ass, but game two, like, really, really, really sucked. Like, what a loss. What a horrendous loss, Jack.
I've spent, all I think about is the Phillies pretty much.
I just
love them so much. And I'm beginning to get to the point where I'm wondering if they're ever gonna love me back, how are we supposed to handle this? Like, how am I supposed to sit here, do this podcast with you, and like, just say everything's fine? Like, just talk it out. I don't even want to talk it out. Like, what baseball team does that? What baseball team does that? Why do they always have to lose the worst way? Why can't it just be a freaking simple loss? Why does it have to be a 7-0 lead in the first inning? Which, by the way, it was like like the luckiest 7 runs ever. I don't know.
No homers, like a bunch of singles.
Dude, the first four hits were 75 miles an hour off the bat. Exit velocity.
I know. Certainly not the rowdy Tellez 117 mile per hour homer he would hit later in the day.
And it's
117!
117. And it's like, you know, Vinny actually settled down and I was like, all right, we're good. You know, this is perfectly fine. And then, you know, honestly, when they're up 7-0, I was like, they're going to lose. That was the first thought I had. It was like, sweet, we're up 7-0. This doesn't matter. They're going to lose because this is what they do. And it doesn't matter who they add. It doesn't matter the good players they add, the bad players they add, who they bring up from the minor leagues. They all can't handle it. It's just, why? Why? How is this team supposed to compete with this bullpen? Like, how are you going to sit there at the opening press conference of Joe Girardi, and how are you going to sit there with a straight face and say, it's time to win now? You know, like, how do you do that? How do you walk into this season and say, this is good, this is fine, everything's good, this doesn't matter, we're good. You see this bullpen? It's fine. We're going to bring up a bunch of young kids. We're going to not pay the only decent relievers we might have that might actually help this ball club. How do you have a general manager job in this sport and you are, what is he, 5 years in at this point, and you still suck? You still suck. You can't find any freaking talent if it slaps you in the face. He can't find talent. He can't find talent. He literally can't find talent. And, like, the Blue Jays suck, and they come out, and that bullpen is like 98. Everyone's throwing 98, and it's like, what do we have? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No one can, whatever. I just,
I just hate this team. I just today was a real punch in the gut.
Well, how about this? Who had a bigger punch in the groin today, us or Jose Alvarez? Talking about punches in the gut, the one reliever we can count on goes down. Jack, we'll get to Alvarez and what a horrifying injury that was, and a scary scene and all that. Unbelievably made the play. One of the plays of the year, considering that what happened.
Well, but now I have one thought on that real quick.
Oh, goodness.
I'm not denying the toughness. I'm not denying the toughness.
Oh, God.
But I'm sure you've been hitting that area before, as sure. have I. It doesn't really set in until at least 10 seconds, 5 to 10 seconds after.
It's a fair take. He was able to just kind of use the emotion and the adrenaline and get through it.
So I heard that take a lot of like, how did he complete that play? As someone who has been hitting that area before, you have to remember, doesn't really set in until at least 5 seconds in.
That's it. Okay, fair point. Regardless, this bullpen sucks, Jack. They suck. I'm going to wake up my daughter. Zoe, I'm sorry. I'm going to get my dogs all riled up. I got them riled up when Jack and I started talking. Even before the pod started, I woke up my dogs by yelling. I can't believe you would go into a season with a bullpen like this, Jack. I can't believe that you would rely on a bunch of guys who half of them are major league pitchers. Cole Irvin's back on this team somehow. We didn't see him, but none of these guys are major league pitchers. I mean, even Hector Neris, the guy we're supposed to count on, we can't even get a Hector right. Like, it's infectious, and that's probably not a word I should use right now, but how much this bullpen sucks. It is spreading from guy to guy. They are all terrible. It is a disaster. I hate this team, Jack. I hate the feeling of watching them and knowing that no matter what the lead is, 7-0 even, I know they're just going to blow it. It is an infuriating baseball team to watch. And it sucks because, as you always talk about, you used to say this all year last year before we realized they weren't actually going to rake. A baseball team that rakes is supposed to be the funnest type of baseball team. That's what you want. You want a team that's just going to rake and put up runs and have fun doing it. And batting is contagious and all that type of stuff. And instead, we can't even enjoy it because we know that hammer is coming down every single time, Jack. It's infuriating. This team is infuriating.
Yeah, and like, I don't want to pile on what you just said, but we didn't see Cole Irvin. Well, if they tied the game up, guess who was coming into that ballgame?
It was Cole Irvin.
I mean, and then you mentioned Hector Neris. Hey, you know what would help Hector? Scott Kingery, who I was told was going to be a Hall of Fame level defensive player at second base, if he could throw a freaking ball to first base, and if Didi, I was starting to trust Didi with my life. You know, every ball to Didi, I was like, all right, that's an automatic out. And then he pulls that today.
I know. I just said on the show the day before, I was like, this guy's automatic. He makes everything look easy. He's smooth. And then, of course.
That's when you have a dreadful baseball team, is when one thing goes wrong, they just fold. And you know, that's what sucks about having a bullpen like this, because you can't tell me, if you are a member of the Philadelphia Phillies, you cannot look me straight into the eyes and say, this is a bullpen that is good enough to compete. And you know that every single one of them, when those guys come into a ball game, they're like, oh bleep, we have to be perfect or we're probably gonna blow this game. And when they see stuff start spiraling out of the control, everyone takes it up to another level, and then they just fold. Like, the bullpen has literally infected the entire team, because honestly, when you're on a baseball team and you know your team has a hole, it's all you think about. It's literally all you think about. You just think about, okay, this is nice, but what happens when the bullpen comes in? And then when those guys get in, I have to be perfect or else we might blow this game. And like, to sit down every night and think that Matt Klentak, one, has a job, and two, like, this is a make or break year for Matt Klentak. He's I would hope it's a make or break year. Either way,
I pray it's a make or break year. But I'm hoping that the just how bad the bullpen is, the levels of bad that it is, are enough to sway or tip the scales, as it were. But man, I don't know.
Well, listen, Jack. Listen, here's the thing. Jeff Lurie fired Chip Kelly in a similar kind of situation. Now, I think he would have pulled the plug last year if he was the owner of this team. Like, I think he would have seen that it was trending in the wrong direction, but he gave him one more year, and he pulled the plug on a guy that was coming off two 10-win football teams. And Matt Klentak has not even come close to achieving that with this baseball team. All he's done is spend $200 million a year of John Middleton's money. Like, that's literally what he has done as general manager.
Well,
of the
I mean, think about it. Think about, again, we talked about this last time, but there are so many teams that operate at a quarter or you know, a third the budget the Phillies do, like the Indians, the Rays, these teams that year after year are able to construct not just bullpens, but, you know, playoff caliber rosters. Matt Klentak is such a failure of a general manager that not only does he have this gigantic payroll that compared to most general managers that are able to construct these type of teams do not, whether it's Billy Bean or Antonetti or, you know, any of these guys, like, they all do. That's what having a smart GM does for you. Like, imagine what they could do with that type of money. Imagine if you brought in someone who knew what he was doing, could do with $200 million payroll. Like, and the saddest part is they don't even have guys in the minors coming. Like, now that Bohm and Howard are up, like, it's ugly, man. Like, it's bad. Mick Abel better be good. You know, Casey Martin better be good. They are barren comparatively to a lot of teams. And this has all been under the reign of Matt Klentak. Not only did the team lose 90 whatever games it was, they were close to 100 loss team, essentially. Not only did that happen, where they never got better on either thing. Like, they never got better enough on the field, the product we're seeing, and they didn't build through the minors to get better eventually. Like, it's a disaster.
Well, basically, I was thinking about bringing this up a little bit earlier, before we started recording this, but, you know, they do this whole rebuild, and what do we have to show for it? It's like they just waited around until they could just pay Bryce Harper whatever it took and trade Sixto for JT Realmuto. And by the way, Sixto's coming up, so you better. And he was apparently touching 100 or sitting 100. I don't know, in the alternate site.
Just sounds so ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's doing that in the alternate site, and meanwhile, we're bleeping around to figure out if we're going to sign JT Realmuto or not. Like, you know, most teams come out of a rebuild with a freaking talent galore, and it's something to get excited for. This team comes out with just nothing, and then just buys their team in the offseason and trades their prospects away. They're just so poorly constructed. But, like, the thing with baseball is that it doesn't really matter. Like, you can find talent over the draft. You can find international talent. You don't have to pick at the top of the draft to find studs. You have to have a general manager that knows what he's doing. And, like, these teams, and you just said it, but, like, these teams with low payrolls that get the most out of these guys, that believe in player development and just maximize what they're given. Like, imagine them watching what Matt Klentak has done here. They're probably just cackling. I can't tell if they'd be cackling or jealous. Like, I would be like, are you kidding me? Imagine what I could do with $200 million. Like, he is so in over his head. And he just doesn't know what he doesn't know what to look for. Like, the Blue Jays, who aren't very good. I mean, they have talent. I mean, Vladdy's been pretty much a disappointment. Kevin Biggio is pretty good. I like Teoscar Hernandez. Bichette's a stud. But, like, look at that bullpen. Like, that's what you're looking for in 2020. Like, what the hell are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Look at the Blue Jays. That's what a bullpen's supposed to look like. And meanwhile, you know, Blake Parker's developing into one of our most trustworthy bullpen guys. Yeah, you know, Hector Neris, I believed in him. Jose Alvarez, we'll see if he makes it back.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know.
That poor man.
Yeah, you know, he lays his life on the line today, and it gets swept in a doubleheader, and they're up 7-0 in the second game. It's like, what good baseball team that is supposed to compete for the playoffs, that's supposed to make a run, that's supposed to, I don't know, be a threat, blows a 7-0 lead to the Blue Jays? How do you not have enough in that bullpen to navigate that? How do you let that happen? I don't get it. I don't get how you can be this bad at your job. You shouldn't be this bad at your job. You're a Major League Baseball general manager. Like, you have $200 million payrolls. It's mind blowing. It's truly mind blowing.
Well, look, you said it last time. I think it's a great point. Look at where Matt Klentak came from. Look at who he's trained under. All that type of stuff. Like, instead of, you know, doing what the Red Sox just did and getting the number two guy in Tampa who's super smart and super well respected and everyone loves him, they go and get a guy from the Angels. Like, what do you expect? What do you expect? Like, I wholeheartedly agree with you. I think over his head, clueless. I mean, these are really the words and phrases that come to mind for Matt Klentak. Like, the Phillies will never succeed with Matt Klentak as general manager, ever, never. Like, and they won't start to be on the path to being successful until he's gone. Like, it's that dire a situation. He is among the worst general managers in baseball. Like, he's bad. He's the one that other general managers make fun of. Like, if Billy Beane and Chris Antonetti are in a room, they're joking about what Matt Klentak did. Like, that's what it is. Like you said, Jack. So look, until he's gone, they're not going to be good, and they're not going to be organizationally sound. They're not going to be a good baseball organization. They just won't be.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, you know, and I just, honestly, I started thinking about this week. I can't wait to do the GM search podcast. Like, it's all I've thought about. I can't wait to do the GM search podcast, because we did not hold this organization accountable the first time, James. And I promise every single person in the High Hopes and in the family of the High Hopes podcast, we will not let you down. Like, I will spend every waking hour, every breath, finding the perfect GM for this baseball team, so we don't have to sit through what we sat through today. You know, and the thing that sucks the most is because I honestly felt like they turned a corner. You know, I thought they're going to start hitting the cover with the ball.
They duped us, Jack.
Oh, every time. And I try not to do it. Every time, like, this is a mistake. They're going to hurt you. They always hurt you. And they did. They did again. After the Red Sox series, I was like, they're going to get at least 6 runs a game and everything's going to be fine. You know, the bullpens, they're starting to figure it out a little bit down there, and the starting staff is just good enough. Like, they're just good enough. And then today happens, and everything, I'm just contemplating what am I even doing here.
It makes you question the meaning of it all.
Whatever.
Look, again, I think what it comes back to, and kind of what I still felt last week, but I was maybe not quite as duped as you, but I was definitely feeling positive. I was feeling excited because it felt like this offense was good enough that it could kind of carry this team. And it just comes back to the fact that this bullpen is so bad. Like, it is so far below a major league quality bullpen that you literally can't compete with it.
Yeah.
You know, that it is that bad. Dude. You know, it's like having a horrendous offensive line in football. You could do everything else great. You can have a great quarterback. You can have great receivers, whatever. But, like, if your quarterback doesn't have time, if the offensive line's a true disaster, you're just not going to win, you know? So that's what this bullpen is. It's a crappy offensive line.
Dude, Dalys Guerra was the guy to bring into a tie ball game.
It always is. I can't figure out if it's just because nobody gets outs. So, like, I don't know whether to blame Girardi, but it or not. And I lean towards not, but I feel like Dalys Guerra or Dalys Guerra, such a tough one to say. Dalys Guerra is always coming into games when it matters. It's like every single appearance he's had this year has been in a game that was two runs or less, I feel like.
Hey, new rule. Not buying into this ball club until Daleys Guerra is not taking down my high leverage innings. Is that a fair rule to implement on the High Hopes podcast?
I think it's a brilliant rule. I couldn't agree more.
Like, again, I know we talk about how Matt Klentak probably doesn't watch baseball, but do you think he watches?
Probably.
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you think he sits there and watches these games and says, like, nailed it, did it again? Like, what do you?
I think he looks at the box score and is like, oh, all right.
Dude, honestly, we rip Middleton a lot, and mostly it's justifiable. But I still believe the dude wants to win, and I think if he had the right guy in place, he would just leave it alone. I don't think that he believes he has the right guy in place.
But then why is he
I understand. No, but why is he here? I know, but that's my point. I'm saying that I just fundamentally do not believe that John Middleton watches this every night and doesn't feel the way we feel. I just don't believe it. That's why I'm confident he's going to fire Klentak at the end of the year and McPhail. Like, because he cannot, I don't believe a guy who says as he's as competitive as he is can sit idly by and just be fine with this. Like, no true Philadelphian. Now this is where we're breaking out the Philly card. No true Philadelphian watches this and doesn't just want to stab their eye with a spoon. Like, there's no way. I know you went to Haverford School, so I don't know if that counts as a Philly guy.
I did not go to Haverford School. Not, the George School.
Not you, but great. Middleton went to the Haverford School.
I was like, I didn't go to Haverford.
So I don't know if that counts as being a Philly guy, but no true Philly guy can sit there, watch this bullpen, watch how mind-numbing it is on a day-in, day-out basis and not want to punch a hole in the wall and demand change. He better be angry. And I think an angry Middleton will do the right thing. Now, what scares me, and I don't want to put this into your head or everyone else that's listening to this podcast.
Oh, great. That's a great way to start.
I know, and I'm very sorry. I apologize straight from the jump. But doesn't it feel like this is all setting up for a Dave Dombrowski like overcorrection?
I can't think of anything worse.
Oh, I think I'd rather have Klentak for a year, honestly, than Dombrowski.
Dombrowski is a worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario. It's like the same thing with Girardi and Brian Price.
Well, that's because again, it goes back to I think you're giving Middleton too much credit. I think do I think Middleton wants to win? Yes. Do I think he's smart at how he's running this organization? No. And do I think he's smart at, do I have faith in him to hire the right guy? Like, yes, look, you got the Girardi thing right. But to hire the right general manager, to hire someone who is going to be allowed to take the role and just do what he sees fit with it and not have Middleton involved and whatever. Like, I don't know that I believe that. Like, I don't know that I'm there. For me, the jury is very much still out on John Middleton and whether he's a good owner. Like you mentioned Lurie earlier. I mean, like Jeff Lurie is 10 times the owner John Middleton is. They're not even the same hemisphere as far as I'm concerned. Like Middleton to me has as much to prove as anyone. Now, Klentak is, again, it is a different situation that Klentak is wholly unqualified to be doing the job that he is doing. He is like the Phillies bullpen pitcher of general managers to, you know, make an analogy.
It's fair.
Thank you. I felt pretty good about it when I thought of it there.
Nice.
So that's a separate situation, but I still Middleton. I mean, so the point being that I'm done with Matt Klentak. We all are, but Middleton, like he's got to prove it to me. I'm not saying I'm out on John Middleton. Cause I do agree with you. I think he wants to win. And I think that's an important trait in an owner, but I've seen a guy who's way too involved. I've seen a guy who was unwilling to make the right decision last year, and I'm in fear won't make the right decision this year because he gave him a new contract and all that type of stuff. And there's always excuses and injuries and look at all the injuries and all this stuff and whatever. Like Middleton needs to prove it to me. And like you just said, like the first thing he absolutely has to do is fire Matt Klentak and hire someone smart. And until he does that, like I'm out on John Middleton until he proves to me I should be in.
Yeah. And it's fair. It's not a great place where, you know, I think you're at. Because, you know, it's just nice believing that your owner's going to do whatever it takes to win and do it the correct way. But I just want to know, is it this set of quotes that is giving you pause?
Oh, God, I'm so terrified for this right now. I'm so terrified.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, this is Philly's Philly's majority owner now, right? John Middleton.
Oh, God.
Days after signing Bryce Harper. I mean, seriously, Branch Rickey never had this kind of offseason. Pat Gillick never had this kind of offseason. I'm not telling you Klentak had the greatest single offseason in the history of baseball, but you know what? If you make that statement, people might quibble with it, but they can't really argue with it too hard.
Oh my God.
Because nobody's ever done what this kid did.
Oh my God.
I've always thought this was an exceptional young man. He has great instincts. Watching him create this strategy to fill all these holes and have to do it sequentially and still leave that last big piece in the signing of Manny or Bryce, honestly, it was brilliant. I've always known Matt had the confidence that he could step up to the plate and deliver when the time came, but the difference is today he delivered and he knows that he can perform. This guy really, he is a full-fledged elite GM in this game.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Oh, drink some bleach.
I mean, what am I supposed to say to that? I mean,
I don't know.
That makes me feel like my owner's a moron. Yeah. That's what it makes me feel like. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. My owner's dumb.
Well,
terrific.
Well, at least he extended him immediately after he shelled out the $330 million for Bryce Harper.
It's truly unbelievable. Like it.
Yep. Yep. That's the guy. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. Hey, you know, at least we're starting to realize why this team has 11,000 losses. I mean, I know we say this every year because losing a baseball game always hurts, but like it feels like they lose way more painfully than anyone else. Like, who does that today? Like, what team who is trying to compete for a playoff spot and say that they want to compete and win? Who does that?
Who has these just like true disastrous gut punch losses, like on the regular? I mean, I was thinking about it before, like, just think about how many we've had over the last 3 years, like this group of Phillies guys.
Remember the Nationals game? And
the Max Scherzer one. Of course I remember. Wilmer Devo with the walk-off. How about the Dodgers one where Neris gave up the, what was it, back-to-back-to-back homers? Do you remember that one?
That was the night that the Flyers got Nolan Patrick in the draft lottery.
Like, dude, there have been so many of those games. Gone. The Victor Robles game last year. I mean, like, it's just like, look, we watch a lot of baseball, but like we don't watch every game of other teams the way we do the Phillies. Like, whether there are teams like I watch a lot of, like, I don't have that day-to-day type of experience with them, but I watch a lot of baseball and I very rarely see many losses, certainly not with the same teams over and over again, that are as gut punchy as these Phillies ones are. And granted, I'm a Phillies fan, so I feel them more. But man, it really feels like they have a lot of "how the f did you lose that game" type of game.
Yeah, and even under Girardi, and I know it's not all Girardi's fault, but I just thought it would be different. I thought it would be different. I am shocked a Joe Girardi led baseball team, and I know it's not his bullpen. I get it. I am shocked that happened to a Joe Girardi team, especially with how well Velasquez was throwing. That can't happen. I know he got screwed because he had to use Alvarez in the game before, and he took one off the Nats, and that's why he had to bring Tommy Hunter in, and he blew the game.
Nice use of Nats, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good.
I know. Whatever. this whole like, honestly, sure. I'm sure Jose Alvarez hurt for like 20 minutes. Imagine
20 minutes. He might have a ruptured freaking testicle.
I know.
Or whatever.
I know. I know. But imagine that. But then,
like, his testicle might have exploded into a million pieces. Like, that's what it looked like.
I mean, it was only 105 off the bat.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? Oh my God. It hurt. I'm hurting right now. I'm actually physically feeling pain.
Well, at least you have Zoe. I mean, I don't know if you're.
Thank God. Yeah. It's a good point. Jose might not be able to do it anymore. That's not good.
But as bad as that is and looks, imagine that for 6 straight hours today.
I love that you are comparing the experience as a Phillies fan to what Jose Alvarez went through, Jack. That is like masterful stuff right there.
There's nothing worse.
Truly.
There's just nothing worse. I mean, I'm sorry that I had to bring it in, Jose. I hope you're feeling better. Honestly, like,
we need you desperately. Yeah, like, oh my God. Hey, Jose. Talk about a massively important injury to a Philadelphia Phillies team. Like, who the hell's going to get out?
Hey, Jose.
Blake Parker every inning. Let's go.
Jose, can you get out there tomorrow night? I mean, we got it's the Braves series. Can you toughen it up for one time for us or no? Dude, imagine. All right, so inside the podcast for a second.
Oh, I love that.
So I texted James yesterday, and I said, listen, if they beat the Red Sox today, we got to do a podcast tonight and capitalize on the momentum. You know, this team's going on a run. We're very excited. They're going to score at least 7 runs a game. And you know, it feels like the high hopes people are with us, behind us, all ready to jump aboard this Phillies bandwagon, and we're going to go on a run. Well, then they sleepwalk through a day game against the Red Sox, and we're like, all right, whatever. Damn, spirits are down. Yeah, and then the Jose Alvarez of doubleheaders happens today. And,
just our luck. We should have recorded yesterday.
Oh, we should just record whenever they win, because that's one of the only time I feel happiness.
That's the thing too. Like, and I love to like go through the games of the year and talk to you. Like, what'd you think of Arrieta? What'd you think of Evelyn? I don't care.
Yeah, I don't
care. Like, I don't care right now. Like, I just don't. I don't.
I know. I can't even muster up the energy to say I can't wait to never watch Jake Arrieta pitch on this baseball team ever again.
Cosign, man. Cosign. What a disappointment that
I
guy
just
is.
Hate. Especially, I just can't.
He teased too. He teased us too. Like not that we bought in fully or anything like that, but like that second start, he looked nasty. Like, he looked good in that start.
He legitimately looked good, and well, he's back. You know, here's what the Phillies have taught us: never believe in anything. I mean,
never love anything. Never care about anything.
Never go invest. You know, I feel bad for Bryce. You know, he came here with so much hope, and I wonder if he's starting to realize that there's just, you know,
I legit do feel bad for Bryce.
Who do you feel worse for, Embiid or Bryce?
Bryce.
Really? I feel
because Bryce came here.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and Bryce got sold a bill of goods to come here, and now he is slowly finding out that he was conned by a con man, and like, that sucks. Like, I feel like, especially because like Bryce is more of a baseball freak than Embiid is a basketball freak. Like, Bryce's whole life is baseball. That's all he wants to do. That's all he cares about. Like, Embiid likes other stuff. You know, Embiid definitely is competitive and wants to win, but you can't tell me that Embiid's whole life is basketball. I truly believe Bryce Harper's whole life is baseball. So I feel worse for Bryce. I really do. I mean, especially, like, what a season this guy's having. Like, I've gotten to the point, like, this is, you know, pre today's disaster, where like one of the things I want to talk to you about in this podcast was just how like it's at the point where like we have an appointment television guy again. Like, every time Bryce Harper's up, I have to be there. Like, if I'm listening to Scott in LA or Scott in Franzen or whatever, like which I'll do like when I'm putting Zoe down, or if I have to walk the dogs, where I always put them in during the game, and like I will like base those times around when Harper's coming up to make sure that I'm in front of the television to watch this guy hit. Like, it's thrilling to have this guy on our team and to have him doing what he's doing. And it's just like, sorry, Bryce, sucks for you. You're doing it all for naught because you can't have a freaking bullpen who can get anybody out ever. So all good. Just keep plugging away. Have an MVP season for a last place team. Sweet. Great job. Like, it's like, this sucks.
Yeah, but I still like I
love watching him. It's amazing.
I think I've gotten to the point where I tune in every night to watch Bryce. I do the same thing you do. You know, I stop what I'm doing and I make sure I know what Bryce is about to do, which is great to have. It's like what Howard was like back in 06, 07, 08. Like,
totally. Like for, it's a perfect
comment. For as much as we're Utley guys and whatnot, like, dude, if you know Howard's about to bat third, you're like, okay, I'm going to hang around and see how far he might hit a baseball. And yeah, that's pretty much where we're at with Bryce. But yeah, you know, just to tune in, and I want to watch him. I want to watch Bohm. I want to watch Howard, and I want to watch Nola, and I want to watch Wheeler.
And McCutcheon's fun again.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have Cutch back.
I needed that. Yeah. I needed it. Love that. And Barrels. Can we just have Barrels in the lineup every day? What, I mean, great.
Yeah. Yeah, so, dude, you know what sucks is that I had like actually interesting stuff written down that I wanted to bring up.
I know. And I know.
I'm just sad.
I don't think anyone wants to hear it. Like, no one cares right now. Like, it's an emotion. Today was about emotion. It's not about, you know, and again, because like we're still seeing, like you talked about with the Joe Girardi thing before, we're still seeing these fundamental miscues and mistakes. And look, I'm not going to bang Didi for making his first error in a season where he's been just delightful to watch. Yeah. Like, he really is. He makes hard plays look easy. Like, he's fun to watch. But it just seems like there's a lot of that. Like, there's a lot of mental miscues. I mean, Roman Quinn is a disaster in center field. Who knew? Was he supposed to be a good fielder? He's like the fastest guy on the planet. He never gets to anything. He's a disaster. Like, he is a true bad center fielder. Like, the moment Hazley can play, he has to be playing every day. Like, I mean, Roman Quinn, did you have any faith, any hope at all when after that rally with Bohm standing on third base, of course, Bohm, you know, two outs in the ninth, ripping.
Dude, I thought it was gone. Right. I thought it was
gone.
What
a beast. I was too. I got up out of my seat. But like, what a good hitter. But like, did you have any faith in the world at all that Roman Quinn could get? Because I'll tell you where I was at. I said to Emily, I said, maybe he'll ground out, but beat it out. And that's maybe we could score way we score a run. Like, that was my hope, was that he would hit like a soft grounder that he could maybe beat out. Like, I had zero hope he would get it.
Yeah. Roman is kind of like he's kind of like Revere in center field, where Revere had no idea how to play the position, but he's so fast that he caught off the balls and everyone's like, well, might be good at this. And like, how do you let that ball go under your glove in the seventh of the game before?
A disastrous play. And it's his third disastrous play like that this season. Like, three.
Yeah, he's...
The Austin Hayes one is an all-timer. I mean, that was just unbelievable.
He's just not a good baseball player. He's really fast. He can change games, but just make him an eighth, ninth inning guy off the bench that can feel it back.
He's your guy who should be on second base in extra innings. Like, you know, that kind of like, oop.
I know. It's a very, very tough podcast.
Yeah, good times.
How did that happen today? How did that happen? And you know what sucks the most is, like, dude, we're legitimately 11 days from the trade deadline.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, we're 11 days from the trade deadline. Are we, like, what should I don't even know what they should do.
Sell.
Yeah, but what are you selling? I mean,
no, there's nothing. I honestly think this is going to be the quietest trade deadline ever, just because it's a weird year. And you know, there's so many teams who are in it. There aren't going to be that many sellers. If you can add a reliever, great, I guess. Like, just because of the 10,000 playoff teams, you actually have a shot, I guess.
You know what I can't wait for is
the bullpen. They're not going to win anything in this bullpen. It sucks. It's
right, but you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for to come up with all these names of guys with really good spin rates, and they might have stuff, and they might be underrated talent, and just to give them a shot and try to steal them from a team and whatnot. And like, I just know Klentak's going to trade for like Trevor Rosenthal or Greg Holland, you know, these guys who are having pretty good years, but are like 90 years old. I just know he's going to trade for one of those guys. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. He's going to trade for Greg Holland or Trevor Rosenthal. They're going to come here and they're going to suck.
And they're going to suck. The lock of all time to suck. They're going to
suck, dude.
And again, honestly, is it even worth it? Like, look, make the team better, please. And look, we know they're not going to do anything drastic, because we know they're definitely not going over the luxury tax, because, you know, we know. But, like, is it even worth bringing in a you know, I guess you could try and steal someone for next year. You still have these same issues that, you know, you get a Michael Givens in here and keep him for a year or whatever. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
very down on this team's ability to do anything because this bullpen is not fixable in season. And, you know, it's too bad. Like, it's just too bad.
Yeah, I kind of had this idea earlier. You know, there are some interesting relievers out there from bad teams that are controllable for the next couple of years. And I think they should be aggressive and go get one of those guys because, like, the bullpen's not going to be magically fixed next year. Like, they should bring up Damon Jones. They should bring up Addison Russ, Siebold, you know, guys that they might possibly believe in and give them a chance. But, like, this team's not going to be magically better in the bullpen next year. You're going to have to get guys in here. You might as well go overpay and try to get in like, a nasty reliever that is under team control for the next couple of years. Like, a 27-year-old guy that just started figuring it out, but has good spin rates and spin efficiency and all that good stuff, and get him in here and at least give you a chance next year. They have to think about both this year and next year because, I mean, this is pretty much their team. You know, Didi might not be here, even though I don't know. I don't know if he'll sign a 2-year deal, but I would sign Didi to a 2-year deal.
I would love to have Didi here. He is proven more than enough to me. For me,
and dude, how about that 14 pitch at bat yesterday?
It was unbelievable, and he's been great. Like in the ninth inning in game two, like with two outs, like I was like, D's gonna get on base. I was like, I don't know how, but I feel like D's gonna do something here. And then obviously the boom double. Like, you know, just I feel confident with D in a big spot. Like, and I feel confident with D. Period. But historically, he's done great things in big spots. He feels like he's a player, man. Like, Didi feels like a player. And again, defensively, I know the error today, but he is so fluid. And so it makes it, again, he makes plays that should look really hard, really easy. I love that guy. I love having him here. I'm all in on Didi.
Yeah. But this is pretty much your team next year. You know, Arrieta won't be here. I don't think Robertson will be here. Now Robertson might be their big bullpen addition. But I think I saw the other day, he hasn't really hit 90 yet, which isn't great, but
dude, you know how I feel.
I know. But at the same time, he's never been a velocity guy. He's been a perceived velocity guy.
Yeah, he's like a 93 type of guy.
But this is your team, you know, and give him a chance. Go get a legit bullpen weapon. Go get a weapon. Don't do this whole bottom of the scrap heap. Daly's Guerra, Blake Parker, who has been all right, but whatever.
I hate them all, man. Blake Parker's been fine.
Yeah, just give him a chance. Also, I mean, Girardi cost him game one. I like Joe Girardi, but, you know, what are we going matchup bullpens in the fourth inning against a really good bullpen versus a really bad bullpen?
It was crazy.
And plus, you gotta figure out if Spencer Howard can get out of those spots.
He's at 67 pitches. Let the kid pitch a little bit. Like, you have to give him a chance there. If it was flipped and you're the Blue Jays and you have that pen behind Spencer Howard, sure. Then I understand making the switch to the pen there. But, like, what are you bringing in that's so special for Spencer Howard? Like, let the kid pitch, you know? I'm very with you, Jack. That annoyed me, especially because – you know, early on, especially the Howard stuff had some giddy up to it, and he looked like he was, you know, kind of grooving a little bit. You know, obviously he needs to cut down on the base runners, no question. But I'm with you. I thought Girardi really overthought that, and
you're in a doubleheader. What are you rushing to get into the bullpen for? Now,
it's a great point.
Now, speaking of Spencer Howard, I have to bring some positivity. I mean, our dude's figuring it out a little bit. I mean, that's close to what I was expecting from Spencer Howard. You know, the swing and miss stuff for the first couple starts is kind of concerning. I mean, he generated, I think, 6 swings and misses on his fastball, which we didn't see at all in the first couple of starts. And he kept the ball down. You know, he was trying to live up in his first couple starts, and we saw that did not go well at all. But he kept the ball down, and you know, that's a start that we can build off of. That's something to get excited for. That's something that you can kind of see where we're trending here with Spencer Howard, but unfortunately off or not. And Vinny looked good. Vinny actually looked good.
Yeah, he had that rough first inning. I mean, look, to come out and walk the first guy when you're up 7. I mean, that's it's legitimately unacceptable, but I'm with you. Look, I thought, again, Girardi, he probably shouldn't have brought him back out in the 6th. I think that ended up being a mistake and obviously ended up, you know, costing them another run there. But I thought Vinny, I was more impressed than not with Vinny today, considering how it started and how it played out.
Yeah, well, and he finally just started to trust Knapp, and
yeah, he just kept moving towards it. Like, it was like he finally was like just pitching and moving, and he would just look for the sign, take the sign, and go. Yeah. Like, it was, that's, he's so much better when he does that.
Just stop thinking, man. Just stop thinking and pitch. Just throw. Just whatever the catcher puts down, just go with it and just execute the pitch. It's not. Doesn't have to be rocket science. Stop thinking so much. Everything would be better if you just stop thinking. And really, they're going to need a 6-man rotation because they have
they're going to play a bunch of double headers.
So he's gonna start again if they can get whatever. I don't want to say if they can get whatever. You know what? If we can get something out of Vince Velasquez, we'll take it. I'm not telling you to buy in, but like again, this is what's so annoying. Watching Vince Velasquez is like watching the Sixers offense the first five minutes of the first quarter, where it's like, oh, they figured it out. And then they'll just go back to being horrible. This is where we're at with Vince Velasquez. Like today's start was like the Sixers offense in the first 5 minutes of a basketball game, where it's like, oh, we figured it out. But then the rest of the game happens and it all goes to crap. So, but you know, signs of encouragement. I mean, Jake Arrieta, Would they have the stones to pull Arrieta from the rotation if Vince keeps it up?
Yeah, I think so. He's in the last year of his deal, so I think it would have to be a stark difference. Like it would, like right now, it's not a big enough difference. But if like Vinny starts to kind of figure it out and gives you like 5 or 6 with the run or two for a while, and Arrieta's this guy, then yeah, I think Girardi would do that. And it also depends how competitive they are and all that. But I think he might. One more thing I want to get to before we just get to the mail take back, because like, again, like I don't think anyone cares about specific nerdy stuff that we get into, but really quickly, I do want I want your thoughts on Kingery, just cause like he is a black hole right now. He is useless as a baseball player, but at the same time, he is supposed to be part of the team's future. He's under contract for a while. Like you can't just give up on him. No. You need to develop him. What would you do if you're Girardi to try and get Kingery through this, but also win games that matter?
I'm sending him to the alternate site and letting him figure it out there.
Wow.
I don't know why. I don't know why he's here. I literally don't know why he's here. He's clearly not. He's not ready to be here. And it's not that I'm giving up on the talent or I am giving up on Scott Kingery. It's just go down and let him get right for a little bit. Let him just take a deep breath. Let him get his full strength back up. Going out there and facing major league pitching right now is not a recipe for success for him. And now it's affecting his defense, which I actually thought was pretty good. You know, Segura's back. Segura can play second base. Haseley seems like he's on his way back. And obviously Quinny can play center field. So you don't really need Scott Kingery. I mean, you know, if you want to get Didi a day off, he could play short. If you want to play him at third, you could put Bohm at first for a day. If you want to get Hoskins like a day off. But if I was them, I would send him to the alternate camp and just try to get him right. And because it's just, this is only going to tank his confidence more. Listen, he's obviously not going anywhere unless they want to put him in a trade at the trade deadline and maximize the value if they think they need to do that. I don't think Scott Kingery's bad. Like, I just don't think that he's this bad. I think there's a good player in there. I think he's gotten way too launchy, and I would like to see him get back to being a baseball player and you know, thinking line drive and just dropping the bad head and letting your natural talent take over. And I'm not giving up on Scott Kingery, and I don't think the Phillies want to give up on Scott Kingery. I don't think they should. But I think setting him down to AAA and just letting him get right is good. And it's not a demotion. This happens sometimes. And then if he gets right down there, let him come back up and try to build off that. But to keep throwing him out there against major league pitching is just, it's just not helping at all.
Yeah. No, that like I was going to say, play him like one day a week. I actually think that your plan makes sense. Either way, I think we both agree he can't be playing on a consistent basis. I mean, especially at the expense of guys like Gosselin who are hitting right now. All right, Jack, what do you got in the mail take bag, if anything?
It's so unfortunate because I had a lot. Yeah. I generally like Bryce's two strike approach. I like that he spreads out, and I like that he is caring about his strikeout numbers this year. I think it's nice, it's refreshing, and I think that his two strike approach is only going to lead to being a tougher out. But the one thing I don't like at all is I don't like the bunting. I'm just out on the bunting.
Especially like today with two outs and no one on, like, what are you doing?
No, there was a runner on first base.
And a runner on first. That's right, man. Excuse me. Like, it's just like, what are you doing, man? Like, he's getting too bunt happy. Like, I get it if every once in a long while you want to put a bunt down because they are shifting so aggressively on you and you want to keep him honest. Fine. But they're not going to stop shifting against him at an excessive rate because he's putting these bunts down. They're just not.
Yeah, and it's totally killing his exit velocity numbers on Baseball Savant. When I check the leaderboard every day, they keep going down because of his stupid bunting.
The important stuff, right?
Yes. I had written down here Brogdon in relief, and then today happened.
Whoops.
Because I still think he's going to be a dude.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I think he's going to be fine. I think Girardi cost him game one. Hey, Vinny was actually up to 97 today. That's nice to see from Vinny Vila.
Yeah.
Take it. Howard was also up to 96, 97. So it seems like their Vila is starting to come back, which is good to see. And yeah, I'm jealous of the Blue Jays bullpen. You know, they brought in a bunch of dudes that throw
like
hard.
Guys like Jason Romano and Brandon Merriweather, and these, like, they're just good.
Dudes.
Or not Brandon Merriweather, whatever his name is.
They just come out of nowhere and throwing 98. It's like, what are we, you know, I don't know. Like why, the Red Sox team, honestly, their pitching staff was, I felt, Matt Klentak's like dream pick.
Philly's ass.
Yeah. And I mean, Haim's clearly just tanking to lose, and then get the.
He's absolutely tanking.
No, but he's tanking, but then he's going to get fired, and then come down here to Philly. So,
oh, look at you! He's playing 3D chess.
It's the long game. It's the long game,
which means we have four more years of Klentak.
There would be no more high hopes.
Yeah. We would change the name.
Honestly, that should be. I think that should be our threat. If Matt Klentak is the GM of this team next year, high hopes is done.
It's a big threat, Jack.
Yeah, would you like that, John?
John, are you listening?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we still have high hopes now. We'll be back next week after
Do we have high hopes?
The Braves. Well, we have a podcast called High Hopes. We definitely don't actually have real high hopes.
Dude, you know what I can't wait for? I can't wait for them to get blitzed by the Braves tomorrow after playing it.
It's going to be great. Yeah. Max Fried's going to no-hit them. It'll be terrific.
Yeah, especially after today's debacle. They'll
score no runs for Nola. Nola's going to go like seven innings, one run, 10 strikeouts. And the Phillies won't score. They'll lose 1-0.
Yeah, there's
or no, they'll lose. They'll lose like 8-0 because the bullpen will give up 7 runs in the 8th and ninth.
Yeah, there's just no way. There's no way they win tomorrow night.
It's gonna be great.
Can't wait for a nice disheartening Braves.
Oh, buddy. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. He's Fritz himself. We'll see you.